and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
Sorry, I was trying to adjust
Oh, your little screen is so tiny.
I know. I was trying to adjust my Audacity thing so I could see our thing, our blips on them.
I was trying to spot our blips, make sure they're blipping.
Those blips be blipping.
I know. I want them to blip appropriately. Taylor, what are you drinking? It looks so refreshing.
It looks really refreshing.
I'm drinking a mug of coffee, which is delicious, but not refreshing, I would say.
Yeah.
I have my coffee, but I have also, it's just seltzer, but it's in this beautiful pink goblet. So it just makes it look, I like to drink everything out of this glass because it makes me feel like a fairy.
Yeah.
I mean, it is beautiful. It looks refreshing. Like, it does. It looked like you were drinking some sort of special, magical
elixir.
It does look like something that would be handed to someone on a quest in like a fantasy movie.
That's not a glass. That's a goblet.
It is. So I'm telling you, if you need to find a little bit of joy in your day, just get the fanciest looking glass you can possibly find. You can get it probably at a party supply store, you know, and just put a beverage in that all day long. You won't ever feel too bad because then you'll look at your glass and like, nah, I'm fancy.
I think this is a better personality test than maybe like, I don't know, your zodiac sign. My favorite thing to drink out of is I have this big mug. It's not like a coffee mug. It's like a big block, like the block glass kind of. So it's like geometric shape, but it's a mug with a big handle that I got from a local restaurant backyard that they would serve like their big servings of beer in. But it's not like the tall beer. You know what I'm saying? It's like a shorter, fatter block glass mug. And I love it. And it's my favorite thing to drink out of. Just anything. I mean, water. I'll get ice water and drink it out of this big block glass. It's like a heavy, tough mug. And it's huge. It holds, I love it. It's my favorite thing to drink out of.
Riley, what is your favorite thing to drink out of?
I'll be honest, guys. I usually just drink things like out of the thing they come in.
Oh.
except for when it's like, if you get like a fresh pack of sodas and they're not cold yet, but you want to drink one, so like you want to put it on ice so it's cold. If that happens, then I have little like glasses I got from Amazon that look like mason jars almost, but like they're smooth and they like lip up or like curve up at the top, so like they have a little bit of like a curve that's going inwards. But they're just like standard clear glass, and they came with little clear glass straws, so like you can see, like sometimes I'll put my coffee in those if I make it at home and it's cold coffee instead of putting it in a mug. So I guess I do drink drinks out of that. But like when I drink like energy drinks or sodas or whatever, usually they're in cans.
I don't know. Maybe we could build an entire zodiac out of what's
your preferred vessel. I feel like this more just like, I feel like this determines your D&D class.
Yeah. Like, your alignment.
Yeah, I think it does.
That's possible.
Sydney likes to drink out of a stein. Let's call it what it is, Sid. You drink out of a stein.
It's not, but yeah. I mean, like, yes, but it's not.
That's the feeling you want to reinforce in yourself. I want to feel like a magical fairy prince. You want to feel like a warrior of some kind. And
that's fair.
No.
I'm just, am I just true neutral?
I do think
out of the vessel things coming.
It's something unfussy and practical, but somehow pretentious also.
Hey.
Because of the glass straw.
Yeah, the glass straw, that's a very specific, I know the glass you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's somehow passing judgment on our more like fanciful glassware. Like, I don't think all of that is really necessary.
I have the most correct glass for each beverage.
I almost splurged and got one that's the exact same shape and exact same style off Etsy, but it had Taylor Swift, like the name of an album on it, but it was color changing like material. So like it looks white and you can't really see it that well, but then when you pour something cold in it, it turns the color of like the album that is on it. And I almost bought it to splurge a little and be a little fun, but then I was like, do I really need that? Like, it's just the same glass I have. This is the same glass I already have, but like something different on the outside. And I live alone, and like people don't come over, so like who really like who's gonna see it? It's just gonna be for me.
Riley.
That's for your joy.
That's for my joy. I know. They are very cool. There's a whole Etsy store that just does like color changing like stickers on glasses, and I think that's fun.
Well, it is St. Patrick's Day, so
oh boy,
we can drink whatever your preferred celebratory beverage is out of your preferred celebratory glassware. Or not glassware. It doesn't have to be glass.
Or plasticware.
Plasticware. Porcelainware. Ceramicware. I don't know.
I'm working at a bar tonight on St. Patrick's Day, which is one of those things you're supposed to try not to do in my industry. I know that sounds like we want to do it, but mm-hmm. you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
But my bar has chosen to pretend that they don't know that it's St. Patrick's Day. And that's what we're going with.
Honestly, that's not a bad like mode of attack, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you come bursting in there with your friends all dressed in green, ready to do dumb things, and everybody's like, what is up with you?
Yeah, it's just Friday.
Oh, you're celebrating something? Okay, that's fine.
Well, that's
someone's
fun.
Birthday?
What are you? Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a fun day. Good. Have fun with that.
It's not as severe as the stance that like New York takes on Santas during SantaCon. This is a very specific. Well, I guess it happens on the West Coast too, but you all know what SantaCon is, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just it cracks me up. All the signs up on every bar and restaurant, like no Santas. Like if you didn't know what SantaCon was and you were just a tourist in New York for the day, like what is going on? Like
why are there no Santas?
New York hates Santa Claus.
No Santas.
It's exactly what they told me on Fox News.
I know, they're right. It's a war on Christmas.
They're trying to kill Christmas. It's exactly what Bill O'Reilly said they would do.
Oh man. Real Santa is okay. False Santa's no.
Man.
Today's also match day. I don't know if any of our listeners are awaiting their match results, but good luck.
What is perfect match?
For like residency.
Yeah, for med
students. I know that's what we're talking about. It was a holiday.
Well, it's always around this time of year, so sometimes it does fall on St. Patrick's Day. Like it's always a mm-hmm. Friday at this time of March, and so occasionally it will land on St. Patrick's Day, and it's a big day. It's either a big party day or a big sad day, because you just like you open an envelope and it tells you like here's where you're gonna go work for the next 3 to 5 years to be the thing that you've studied and gone into debt for the last 8 years to be. Good luck. I hope it's what you want in there.
Then it's a big sad party day.
Yeah.
But some,
sad party.
It's both. It's like, because, you know, for me, it was like, I got what I wanted. So I was like, yay. But not everybody will. So
I got it all over my TikTok right now. Like videos of past match days where people, like schools, I guess, do like mm-hmm. people come up to the microphone and open up their letter and read it out loud in front of everybody, like for the first time, which is wild. Because watching those videos, it's like half the people up there start happy crying and they're like dancing and they're so happy because it's like exactly what they wanted. And then you can tell the people that go up and read it and they're like, yeah, okay.
It's rough. They didn't do it that way when I came through. Like we all were in a big room together at tables with our family or friends or whoever we wanted to bring with us. And we opened our envelope at our table. But now they do something similar, I believe. And the only merciful part is that if you didn't match,
they tell you before today, right?
You know, early in the week, and it gives you time to try to find a slot so that you're not, because that would be the worst, to stand up in front of everybody and open an envelope and it's like, nope.
Yeah. I don't think I could handle that. I don't think I could handle opening an envelope and it telling me where I'm going to move. I don't have enough control over that mm-hmm. for my personal liking.
Yeah, there's a lot of criticisms you could level at this system.
Speaking of matches.
Hey, yeah. Did you like that?
Good job.
That's where I was going with that.
Okay.
It was a match day. It was a transition point.
Mm. Perfect match.
Yes.
I made you all watch Perfect Match. Well,
yes,
really,
you did.
I made Taylor watch Perfect Match because Sydney had already started watching it. And I had already watched all of it. So really, it was just Taylor. that I made watch it.
Well, I don't feel made, though, because I will say I started watching it and I couldn't remember. I couldn't exactly remember what dating show you told us to watch. I was pretty sure it was this one. And then by the time I got like three episodes in, I'm like, I'm going to keep watching this one anyway, because this is what I'm going to talk about either way. So I'm glad it was the right one.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you watched it.
It's fully invested.
I mean, Justin and I found it just natural. Like, it was just organic. We were looking at Netflix and we were like, oh, is that like the Netflix version of Are You the One? That's what we thought. We thought it was like a stolen thing.
The name is misleading.
And so we watched like a trailer and we were like, hey, that's Joey. Wait, we know these people.
Yeah.
And then we were in.
Yeah. For those of you unaware, which I don't know why you wouldn't be up to date on the Netflix dating show scene, Perfect Match is one that just came out a couple weeks ago that only features cast members of other Netflix reality shows.
And it's sort of predicated on the belief that you probably have a perfect match for you, like a romantic perfect match somewhere in the Netflix, not even dating show, reality show universe, because they're not all from dating shows.
No. And it's very the whole way it's set up. Like, I don't know if this is how it really is, but it looks like every single night someone is like leaving. Like, they bring in two new people, and then two people leave because you're not in a couple. Like, it looks like it's, like, every day or every other day, which is kind of wild. Mm-hmm. To expect you to, like, decide who your perfect match is after meeting them, and, like, 4 hours later, you're like, all right, you're my perfect match.
I don't know the pace of it. I know that at one point early on when we were watching it, somebody had said they loved each other and all this happened, and that someone said, we've been here like 10 days. And I was like, whoa, 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 wait, 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 back it up. You've been there 10 days?
Yeah.
That's it? 10 days?
Well, and I think it's important to know that there is a monetary prize for being the perfect match at the end. So you have an incentive for falling in love.
Yeah, which is interesting because Netflix obviously has other dating shows, but the only other ones that have a cash prize are like Too Hot to Handle, where the point isn't really to meet someone and fall in love. It's can you not mooch and make money? Like, if you can just not touch each other for a couple weeks, then you'll all make money and you'll all share it.
I'd make so much money on that show.
I know. It's so easy. I don't know why these just... I don't know.
I don't know.
I'll never get Too Hot to Handle.
No.
But like, I will never. That's a whole other thing. I will never understand how everybody isn't just like, oh, well, okay, just no one touch each other. You got it? Okay.
Let's all just hang out for a couple weeks. We're at a free resort with lots of free food and alcohol. Let's just like chill. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Love is Blind is the one where like the point is supposed to be to meet someone that like you genuinely have a connection with and want to marry. And there's no cash prize there. Like, I'm sure there's, like, when it comes to the weddings and stuff they do on the show, Netflix probably pays for a lot of that. But, I mean, you don't win money. Perfect Match is like, yeah, come fall in love. But also, if you're the best at falling in love, you'll get $50,000.
The best at falling in love. That's...
It's kind of mean in a way that I feel like a lot of the shows sort of hedge up on being kind of mean. And this one is like... So all the couples are matched up, and then one power couple has the opportunity to bring two new people in the house and send them on dates with other members to try to, you know, mess everything up.
Just wild.
And cause chaos. And, like, sometimes the result of those dates are that the person who has, like, been totally devoted to their person, to their match, goes on one date with someone else and then comes back and is like, I'm so sorry. This is my perfect match now. And like,
I've fallen in love.
It strips away all the artifice of, like, you can't say we just connected so much. We just really get along well. We have so much fun together. We have our personalities. Well, no. You've been together on one date for like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be on. It's about like, it's about the muscles. It's about the butt. Like, let's just be honest. Like,
it's about the butt.
It's about the butt. It's about something very surface,
yeah,
because there's not enough time for it to really be about much else, which is kind of mean. It's like, oh, yeah. Ouch.
Well, and because it switches from, like, you know, so one one episode, I guess. It'll be that there's two extra guys, and then the next week it'll be there's two extra girls. So it's like, it's odd that people's love confessions are always timed with the week that, you know, mm-hmm. they're in mm-hmm. the party that could go home. Like, it's just, oh,
every
no.
time.
This is, I could perhaps go home tonight. I better tell somebody that I love them. But then yeah. next week I'm going to dump them because I'll have the upper hand. It's pretty brutal.
And I don't understand, like, so early on in the show, two, I was going to say characters.
I mean, they're, I mean, well,
whatever. Two humans, Nick and Savannah, mm-hmm. kind of have this like agreement. Like, we're not really feeling each other romantically, but if we play well together, maybe we could win this.
Yeah. Or even like, if we keep matching up, then at least we both can stay on the show mm-hmm. until we both find someone that like we actually.
Which
like.
Also, like, is a good deal. Like, I mean, you know, whether or not you're going to win the $50,000, mm-hmm. what you want from this is exposure, because they're all, like, what, actor, model, they're all, influencer. Like, multiple slashes, actor, model, yeah. influencer, whatever, you know. So, like, what that's what you want. Yeah. So why would that not have been something everybody just, like, okay, you and me, to the end? Got it. Okay, let's have fun now. No. They can't. Nobody can make that work.
I think Joey and Carousel did that. We just didn't see them do that because Joey and Carousel knew each other before the show. And I guess mm-hmm. it hooked up before the show. But then he like ghosted her, which if I were Carousel, that would not have necessarily been the first person I ran to be like, you're my perfect match. We're never going to be with anyone else. Yeah. But they are from day one the entire time. And neither of them even like hint at looking at someone else. Mm-mm. And part of me is like, I feel like they decided early on, like, there's no one else here that I'm into. You and I just like, we'll vibe, we'll hang out, and we'll win because we'll be mm-hmm. together from day one.
I love how much credit you're giving them. for strategy.
I couldn't understand the whiplash I got as a viewer from Carousel saying everyone in my family told me to never speak to him again and that he's horrible. Okay. And he ghosted me after telling me how much he cared about me and we hooked up and everything. And then 10 minutes later is like running into his arms like, oh, Joey, I love you so much.
No, but see, that's that was the one relationship that felt like not authentic, like in like a good way, but like, yeah, that's yeah. exactly what happens. Like, mm-hmm. that is that couple that they never, they're all, you know, you go out to dinner, oh, we're just gonna go out to dinner together, have a chill night, and then like they're fighting and screaming and then also that's making true. out, but then fighting and screaming again. Like, that's mm-hmm. that couple. Like, that's
yep.
of
yeah.
course they're together.
And they're and Chandler and Janice. Oh, well, that's what you're saying.
I think that's like a, I don't think there's Chandler in the room.
Joey's a Joey.
I was going to say, Joey, there's a very straight like corollary between Joey and Joey. No, I felt the same way. Like, Joey and Carousel are that, I can see that couple together, and everybody's like, gosh, they're so bad together. But then also, can you imagine either of them with anyone else?
No.
No, not really. I don't know. And at least they were fun.
Yeah.
Like, I buy that she was into him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what Joey is doing. He's really hard to read. I found him hard to read on The Circle, too.
But I liked him. I don't want to say, everything's edited and they're, you know, it's TV. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say I didn't like this person as much. But I enjoyed him more on The Circle, maybe because mm-hmm. the relationship stuff, it's hard not to kind of, you know, that adds an extra element in. Where I didn't like him as much on this show. Just
I felt the same. He does this negging thing to Carousel early on that like really just icked me out. Mm-hmm. Like no, I don't, because he knew she'd come running back. He knew it, and
I mean, yeah,
I didn't love that.
She was asking him like point blank for validation in their relationship, and he was like, no, like, come on,
yeah. And she tells him, like, hey, I want to be married soon. He's like, yeah, I'm never going to get married, ever. I don't do that. I don't see myself as that kind of guy. And then the next episode, he proposes. I don't know. I couldn't get a good read on Joey in that one. Mm-hmm. That's why I feel like he just decided. Maybe it wasn't, like, a unified decision then. Maybe Carousel really was into Joey. and wouldn't have picked anyone else. But maybe Joey early on was like, yeah, I could win if I stay in a relationship from day one. So I'm just going to stay here.
I mean, I think that's what adds an extra layer to the show that makes it kind of interesting to watch is when you watch a lot of reality TV, you're watching people who are not used to being filmed 24/7 mm-hmm. and having every random thought and dumb idea that we all have. We all have dumb ideas. Just sort of like put out there for the world to know about you and have impressions of you. Like, it's usually all fresh.
Mm-hmm.
These are all professionals in a sense.
Yeah.
They know that. They know that's the game. And so there's that added layer of they are acting to some extent. Mm-hmm. They are very aware of who they're going to. They know that a narrative will be built around things. And I don't know how you account, you know, it's just so many layers of stuff going on then.
Well, and I'm sure we're going to spoil the ending, but yeah. I do think, you know, it's interesting that with that in mind, the fact that they're all kind of, you know, versed in this, that the couple that got together originally and stayed together the longest wasn't necessarily the best plan. You had to just weave the most dramatic, like, it, you know, like, love story, the one that touched your heart the most, which was who won.
Which we will talk about.
We will spoil it.
We will spoil it, but first.
Let's check the group message. So I gotta tell you all, I'm on spring break, so I've had a little bit of free time. And there was only one thing I wanted to do in my free time because I'd already binged all of Perfect Match, so I didn't really have anything to watch. And that was solve a murder and catch a killer. You know, as you do in your spare time.
That's exciting.
Well, and I was able to do that because of Hunt a Killer. I personally have been a longtime fan of Hunt a Killer. Sid, you actually introduced me to Hunt a Killer many, many years ago. They send you packages where you can examine the evidence, eliminate suspects, and catch the killer with immersive, engaging storylines filled with plot twists. It is so much fun. It is so different from some of the other sort of like immersive murder mystery things out there because Hunt a Killer includes like puzzles and riddles and like physical like locks to undo and maps to use. This past week, Mom and Dad and I did one together that had like a flag that you had to fold in a certain way to get a clue, and it had a lockbox and you had to figure out how to get the code, and there was a riddle and a like a cipher and all that, and it was just so much fun. And it's all, you know, we had a, like a little interactive app to use with it, so it's a lot of fun for, you know, family game nights, if you want to do it on a date night, maybe a team building event, you want to do it on your own. It's totally able to do on your own.
Yeah, it's a great thing for Justin and I to do because we have kids who go to bed and we don't just want to watch TV every night, but we don't have the option of going out every night. So it's a really fun thing to do together.
Mm-hmm. And I know if you're like me and maybe you live alone, you don't have to have a, you know, co-detective. It's also totally able to do solo. So really any night you have a free night to solve a murder, Hunt a Killer is there for you. So Tay, if our listeners want to check out Hunt a Killer, what should they do?
Well, they should head over to Hunt a Killer at bit.ly/HuntAKiller_buffering and use buffering for 10% off your first order of immersive murder mystery games today. Thank you, Hunt a Killer, for sponsoring this episode.
Now, I will say we're going to spoil the show, but not just for our listeners, but for me. I don't know how it ends.
You don't?
No.
Oh.
You didn't? Oh.
I have not, Justin and I have not watched to the end.
Well, is it okay if we spoil it for you?
Are you okay
with that'll
that?
Be okay. Okay. I'll still watch it.
I also did. I was watching it till about 6 a.m. last night, but I didn't get quite to the end, so I just had to look it up. Like, I need to know who is still together. Spoiler alert.
Nobody.
Nope.
Not a one.
I didn't figure anybody would end up together.
Yeah. Part of it is that they filmed this over a year and a half ago.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's been a long time since they filmed this. So these couples would have had to have been together for, like, a pretty serious amount of time for them to still be together at this point. None of them are still together. And sadly, yes, Joey and Carousel, who had been together since day one, who did get literally engaged before the show ended, did not win.
Did they vote?
They voted. They brought back all of the people, and everyone got to vote. Everyone that had been on the show at any point got to vote. for one of the four final couples.
I feel like there's got to be one reason that the couple that won, won.
It was Georgia and Dom.
Why did they win?
I don't know. Do you have a theory?
Well, I think it's because of how Dom got... I mean, again, like, editing always comes into play on these shows. Yeah. But I think it's how Dom got treated by Francesca. If we're just talking, like, narrative arcs, it led this whole, like, oh, he got treated so poorly... And he was ready to go, and Georgia mm-hmm. swooped in and was like, you're a really good guy. You deserve a chance at love. I'm going to pick you just so you get to stay. And that was like a good romantic origin story that people were rooting for them in the long term. I was rooting for them. I bought into the narrative.
Well, I like Dom because he seemed like a good guy, and Francesca seemed like she maybe wasn't the nicest going about things.
Well, and so. I think him telling Francesca that he was in love with her after what it would have been like 4 or 5 days.
Yeah,
I don't
less
know.
Than a week.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I mean, I think that move, it's hard to be like, well, I mean, that's a little that's a little fast, man. I it's hard for me to say she's a bad guy for not also being in love with him after 4 or 5 days.
Right.
But she then went on to do things that were pretty mean. And I mean, even like by reality TV standards, and especially as a veteran of reality TV, was really willing to lean into the villain role, you know?
I liked her. She was my favorite at the beginning because she just seemed so chill and confident, and she wasn't going to play games. And so I was really like, I felt like it was a big sort of like, out of character moment when she just like her and Dom had one best couple and they were sent into the boardroom to choose the next people that came in, and she saw someone on the board that she'd had previous unresolved feelings for. It was like, you know what, actually I'm gonna go on a date with this guy, peace. Like, that was like,
that's the craziest part. It was a huge twist
that you can, I didn't even know that was an option, that you could send yourself on a date. Like, well, that seems like a wild strategy to implement, that you do a competition to see which couple is most compatible and you send that couple into the boardroom and also give them the option to like, yeah, you're the most compatible, but if one of you wants to go on a date with someone else, go ahead.
Yep.
Well, but I mean, and I don't know if like in Francesca's mind, there's a long game here. Yeah, $50,000 is nice, but... if I play this right, they're going to want me on every reality TV show they ever do.
Oh, yeah.
Because somebody who's willing to do stuff like that, to be the villain, mm-hmm. to say stuff to the camera, like in all of the little solos, like she is willing to say the thing that you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe she just said that. Like, she doesn't care. You're always going to get cast on reality TV shows if you're willing to be that person.
And
she's very attractive.
Yeah.
She has that in her quarter, too. She's very attractive.
And she was the villain in Too Hot to Handle. She was in the very first season, and right off the bat is like, I want to make everybody mad. I'm going to kiss another girl just for fun so that we lose money and everyone else can get mad at me. And then she came back for Love is Blind, not to be on it, but to be like a wrench in Damien's relationship that he was about to get married in Love is Blind. Like, that's been her role in the sort of Netflix cinematic universe, is the villain. So I mean, she plays it well.
Was she one of the final couples with Abby?
No. Abby was a final couple with Bartice.
Okay.
Yeah. It was Joey and Carousel, Georgia and Dom, Abby and Bartice, and why am I blanking? Who else was there towards the end that I'm not thinking about? Oh, was it Chloe and Shane?
Yeah.
Chloe and Shane.
So Chloe ditches Mitch and gets back with Shane.
They get to go to the boardroom, Chloe and Mitch, I think. And she says, I want to be back with Shane, and brings him back herself.
Is it because Mitch says FERC so much, do you think?
I mean, that has to be part of it. He also looked at her and said, I don't want a relationship.
Yeah.
And she was like, you're on a show called Perfect Match. What do you mean?
How much of this, because some of those moments, it's like, I mean, that's good TV. I really want to know how much of this is actually like, are there like little sneaky writers and editors going in? Like, you know, it would be really dramatic if you did this. Because that moment, like bringing back him, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, that's, mm-hmm. That's good TV. I get it.
Well, I think so.
I mean, I think there definitely are. I think there are producers who are constantly talking to them.
And also telling them what to talk about. I've heard them say that several times. Was like, oh, they told us to talk about this or this person or whatever.
And they'll also like sort of commiserate with you and then be like, but, you know, I just have to say, like, you and Shane looked really good together. Like, you can see that happening behind the scenes, right? Like,
it's the show Unreal.
It is. Like, stuff like that is happening in the background that we don't know, where they're, like, pushing them in directions.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are your four final couples. And Francesca basically chooses on her own. Like, there's no one here for me. I'm out.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, because she doesn't want to be with Damien anymore. She tells Damien, I don't see us being together. And he cries and leaves. Because Damien, I guess, is also in love with her very quickly.
So I think the least realistic part to me, and Justin agreed, is that someone like Inez is on this show. And nobody is hooking up with Inez. And maybe it was that her standards were that high.
I think
maybe
that's
what it was. But like, to me, she was the most attractive, funniest, smartest, most interesting, caring, like actually seemed to like be considerate of other people. When she hurt Georgia's feelings, she went right to Georgia and apologized.
She was fairly like emotionally mature.
Yeah. Like she really struck me as like, now there's a catch right there. Mm-hmm. I don't know why she was having so much trouble. I don't know.
I will say I was unfamiliar with her because she was from the Circle France,
yeah,
I believe.
I didn't see that.
And I haven't seen that. But when she got put on a date with Bartice for her first date on the show, I felt bad for her already because I knew who Bartice was, even though I didn't know who she was. And then when she started talking and I realized like, oh, she doesn't want to just rush into like a reality TV show relationship. Mm-hmm. She like actually wants to get to know people and like doesn't want to, I don't know, like make out with someone. She's like, well, that's not real, like that's not authentic, like I want us to just like know each other as people. I wouldn't do this if we were out in the real world, like why would I do it now? She is the one person I've ever seen on a Netflix reality show that has that mindset. I think she was just too, I don't know, realistic, had too high of standards.
Well, I think also that the whole 0.5 episode colony there had that same vibe.
Yeah.
Colony she, did
somebody from a, it was, I don't know. So that, she's like a realtor, right? Like a high-end realtor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Selling Sunset, but in, there's like a specific, they have like cities for them. And I forget which city she was from.
Yeah.
She popped in, she looked around and was like, none of these people have real careers. I'm out.
Yeah.
Thanks. I got a job. I'm rich.
Good. I think that was so weird to include people from those shows because like, you have such a range and you can make some corollaries between like, do you want to go on a show where you talk to strangers through a wall and then have to propose to one? Do you want to go on a show where you're all really hot, but you can't do it? Do you want to go on a show? I mean, like these have similar vibes, right?
Yeah.
Like you're kind of, do you want to go on a show where
sound like weird purgatories?
Well, they are. Do you want to go on a show where you're locked in an apartment and you talk to people through social media and they might not be real people or whatever? Yeah. So I mean, this is all weird. And then you're like, here's just a reality show about people who have jobs where they make a lot of money selling really high end real estate and they're cool and flashy and whatever. But like, that's it. And they might also be really attractive, but that's not the point. The point is that they're good at selling houses. Mm-hmm. That was a weird thing. No wonder they showed up and went, what is this? Why are you all half naked? Why is everyone drunk?
Yeah.
What is going on here? No, I don't want to be your perfect match. What do you do? You're an influencer? No, thank you. I'm going to leave now.
I just got to ask, Nick Lachey, is he okay? Because like, I always worried about, what's his face that hosts The Bachelor and Bachelorette? Chris something? He's a Chris, right? I don't know. He's like this older
dude. He had to leave, right?
I think they replaced him. But
there
was
like a problem.
Oh.
He did something. I don't know. You know what? I don't watch those shows.
I don't watch them anymore. I used to. And I often worry about like, this is a man in his 30s and 40s who's having to talk to these like 20 some year olds about their heartbreak after the guy they went on one date with who dated 20 other women. Like, is he okay? Sure. And now I watch Nick Lachey and I think the same thing. Like, Is Nick Lachey doing okay?
I just love the moments where all of these 20-year-olds, like, celebrate, like, Nick Lachey! Yeah,
it's every
like,
time that, he walks in the room. Yeah.
I don't know. I also, because he hosted Love is Blind with his wife, mm-hmm. and it was like a couples thing, and then, like, there were moments on Love is Blind where they would talk about struggles in their own relationship. Mm-hmm. Well, specifically, Vanessa would talk about Nick being like a bad guy in the past.
And like not wanting to marry her and mm-hmm. dating other people. And yeah.
And allude to like maybe some major misbehavior kind yeah. of things. But no, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what their history is. But Vanessa Lachey sort of put it out there.
Yeah.
So there it is. And then Nick Lachey is hosting this on his own. It felt like she like they had a fight behind the scenes and she's like, I'm not doing this, Nick. This is stupid. It's stupid. No, this is too far. Why
it's our
do you
third
wanna...
show?
And this one is a stupid one. Like they don't really want to find love. We can't even pretend this isn't an experiment. We pretended like Love is Blind is an experiment. This is not an experiment. What is it, Nick? And he's like, I got to do it. Nick Lachey hosts reality TV now.
I mean, they also hosted The Ultimatum, which I keep forgetting that was a show because it only existed for one season. I don't know if they ever made any more, but it was the worst premise. Yeah. But one of the guys who was on Perfect Match was from The Ultimatum, and he only lasted like one episode. And his name was Zay, and Ultimatum was basically couples where one of them wants to get married and one of them won't. So they go on a show where they make them fake marry someone else in one of these couples, and then at the end of 3 weeks after they've lived with this other person, they decide if they want to marry their original partner or not be with their original partner anymore. It's wild. Zay was on that show and was one of the people who wanted to get married.
I don't remember.
And his girlfriend didn't, because I think he was with Ray, because it was Zay and Ray. I don't remember. But she ended up being with someone else at the end of it. And then Zay comes on this show and is like, I just want to, I don't know, like, I've had a bad experience before. All these other people got married through a wall or, like, just got to, like, be in a fun, like, beachy condo and make money off of it. But, like, I went on a reality TV show and got no money and then got, like, dumped on TV. So I'm just trying to have a good time. And he's one of the first ones to go.
He ended up with one of them, right? Like, he's dating.
So he is now dating Savannah, okay. Apparently. And they said, she said that they had a relationship on the show. So I guess he wasn't one of the first ones out, but like very early on. Mm. But they never showed it. I guess because both of them ended up leaving fairly early.
I do appreciate, I hope that Netflix will stop their series of experiments. When they do dating shows and then they
or
keep
at least
insisting.
Just stop calling them experiments.
Yeah, stop calling them experiments. This is not an experiment, Netflix. This is not what an experiment is. You're not doing it. And they make all the contestants say that, like, we just need to see if this experiment works. Like, this isn't an experiment. It's reality TV.
Let's just put a bunch of hot people in a house and get them wasted and then film it and edit it for narratives. Which the whole, I'm just trying to figure out what are the rules with drinking on this show? Because everything's in, like, unlabeled bottles and they always drink out of those, like,
the plastic,
show the alcohol. I don't know. It's a weird aspect that I'm just always like, what is going on there?
As far as I know, there's no limit on drinking, and I'm pretty sure it's all provided. But I did see, because in Love is Blind they use those gold mm-hmm. goblets,
yeah.
And I looked up why do they use these, and someone said it was because of continuity. Like, they didn't want you to see, yeah. like, someone has a wine glass that's almost mm-hmm. empty, but in the next scene in the same conversation, it's full. Like, then you know it was edited.
That makes total sense why you would use opaque vessels. So that then, sense. Yeah. And then you can
mix things up as much as you want.
You can also mix up different nights and stuff,
exactly.
Which they do that sometimes. Yeah. Like, you think you're seeing one night of conversation, and really this happened over the course of 24 hours or something. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think it was Bartice or... one of them said, like, that after the end of it, they did interviews with all of them, and he said he was there when Shane got splashed on when Chloe jumped in the pool that was up on the balcony. Mm-hmm. And he said, I couldn't remember why Shane was upset because I was just blackout drunk at that point. I don't remember anything. So, like, I mean, there has to be a good amount of alcohol going around.
I think that, because I know on the UK dating shows, they limit that. They limit the drinking.
They don't want people to be drunk.
And that's, I mean, there are, like, a number, other than health reasons, safety reasons, why that's probably a better idea. Mm-hmm.
Well, paired with the fact that they then have to share a room with somebody.
Right. A private room.
Because, and I don't know, like, what's said, like, but I don't, I was looking at different articles, and apparently some, a lot of contestants didn't know about that.
That was how it was going to be, yeah.
And they were upset that that was a stipulation.
Because well, that's just, like, I mean, not a thing in any dating show.
You just got to be alone in a room with someone.
Yeah. The only one that does anything similar is Love is Blind, and it's the couples that get engaged live in their own little apartments. But I mean, like, Love Island, they all sleep in one big room together. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no...
Same with Too Hot to Handle. Yeah. And, yeah.
There's no privacy for, I mean, not just to spy on everybody, just to, you know, be safe.
Yeah. And Are You the One this season, they have bunk beds.
I gotta say, I love Are You the One. That is the one dating show. You talk about getting a bunch of 20-somethings to drink and then be hot in a house together, like, and then film it. That's exactly what Are You the One is, except then they make them solve a big logic puzzle. And it's so
that involves math.
Fun. And no one goes home. Like, there's no, like, getting rid of people and replacing them. I've never understood shows like, because Perfect Match did that. Two people left and then two new people came the next day. And it's like, if you keep replacing people like that, or even in The Circle, and it's not a dating show, it's just a competition show, how do you expect people who have come in like a week before the finale to ever be on the same level as people who've been there since day one? I don't know.
I was just happy to see Chloe back on TV. I love
Chloe.
Like Chloe? I watch Chloe on anything.
Chloe makes good TV.
Yeah. Chloe's funny. She's very savvy. She knows what...
Yeah.
I think like Joey, there are some people who kind of know what the deal is, and they're trying to do something. I think Francesca's the same way. I think that one guy from The Mole, not Dom, the other guy,
Will,
was trying to do something like that, but I don't know.
It's so funny
because showing up on a dating show and saying, I just want to win, is not a good vibe.
And especially because his show hadn't aired at that point. So everyone else there is just like, who are you? And what did you do? What's The Mole? Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Also, Georgia is now dating, just for reference, everybody. Francesca's ex, Harry, who was on Too Hot to Handle with her in the first season.
I think I kind of
remember
Harry.
They dated after the first season, and like they did the little catch-up over Zoom, and he proposed to Francesca with a ring pop over Zoom, and it was like a whole like thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now Georgia is dating him, and apparently started dating him while she was still with Dom, like right after the show ended. And Dom didn't know.
It's so messy.
Yeah, it's so messy.
Somebody's got to tell these young people that there are other networks and streaming services that you could probably find reality TV show contestants to date. I mean, if you need it to be a reality TV show.
I was going
to
say, or just someone who's not a reality TV show contestant.
There are also people who haven't been on reality TV.
I mean, is this in the future where everybody has spent some stint of time on reality TV shows? It's like, I mean, I spent my 20s like probably drinking too much and dating around. Mm-hmm. It's just everybody does it on some sort of syndicated television show.
That's which, what the future is. You know, they predicted that really with Shock Treatment, if you think about it.
Yeah, they did.
Abby was from a show called 20-somethings in Austin. I've never watched it. I assume from what she said about it and from the fact that it's called 20-somethings and the brief clips they showed, that is just about 20-somethings in Austin who are living in Austin, and like going out and not necessarily dating, just like living. I don't know. I'm very confused by the premise of that show, but I guess that's just another one where it's just like watching people exist.
Can we watch attractive people exist?
Yeah.
I'm telling it's Shock Treatment.
It's just attractive people zoo. That's what all these shows are.
That's what it is. I do have to say that I think one of my least favorite people from any Netflix show, other than Bartice, who I really don't like, maybe not one of my least favorite people. I don't understand him because I don't understand the game he's trying to play, I think. My least favorite one to watch is Chase. Because he comes on and he's like, I'm the bad guy, I'm the villain, but I don't want people to see me that way. So I wanted Georgia to know I really like her, so I'm going to give her a rock.
Oh, yeah.
So when I say he's my least favorite, I don't know him as a person. I just mean like watching him, I can't grasp what his game is.
Yeah, when he gives her that rock, that I was so glad she reacted exactly like I wanted. Like, please have a scene of after this of her going, he gave me a rock. It was perfect. I was like, ha! And she did it. He gave her a rock.
I mean, I think this is just something like how do hot people live? I don't understand. Where you just do things. You're like, whatever. There will be more people that think I'm hot. And you just get to go through life that way for like a good portion of it.
It is weird. It is weird to think about that. Like, well, I don't need this hot person because there are going to be a whole series of hot people who will like me because I'm hot.
People are just going to look at me and want to date me.
I'll never have a problem with that.
He also had a girlfriend before coming onto the show.
Now the secret girlfriend?
And while he was on the show. Yeah, and Georgia knew that, I guess. So, like, it was a known thing that he
Because she was grilling him on that.
Yeah. So, thank you all for watching Perfect Match.
Hot people do.
It is ridiculous, and I love it. And if you are someone who also just likes watching hot people exist and make bad decisions, then you should watch Perfect Match.
I think it's funny. It's fun. Yeah,
it's entertaining.
I would not unrecommend it.
Yeah.
I'm still going to finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should finish it.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Well, we have a special guest here to tell us what's next, because next week starts our Max Fun Drive.
Yes.
And we try to do episodes that are a little special, a little different for those. And Charlie, who I assume everyone knows, but just in case you don't, is my oldest daughter. She's 8.
If you're new here.
Is here to tell us what we're going to talk about next week. Charlie, this is your something you like, right? You want to say hi?
Hi. I am Charlie, and we are going to be talking about the YouTube channel Jordan Matter.
Jordan Matter?
Yeah.
Like the name Jordan and then the word matter?
No, the full name is Jordan Matter.
Oh, the last name is Matter.
Yeah.
You're talking to the mic.
He's like this photographer, YouTuber.
How is this a child? Okay.
This is a grown man.
This is a grown man.
But okay. He does have a child who's, like, pretty much always on the channel. Salish. I really like her.
Okay.
That's the one that Cooper wanted me to turn on was the kid.
Okay.
Okay.
So Jordan Matter.
Yes.
On YouTube.
Jordan, M-A-T-T-E-R.
Okay.
You're going to come talk to us about this grown man.
Can I ask you one more question before you leave? Why do you smell so fruity?
I was playing with slime. That smelled really good for some reason.
Okay.
This person has 15 million subscribers. I got to know what he does to be this popular.
Because well,
just
clearly,
looking at the little thumbnails,
he matters. Confused.
All right. Well, we're going to find out next week when we watch Jordan Matter on YouTube, and then discuss this with Charlie.
Now I can finally watch it, and my parents have to.
She said, "Now I can finally watch it, and my parents have to." If you want to do your evil laugh, you got to do it into the mic. I think everyone missed that. There you go.
There we go. Bye. Thank you, Charlie.
Bye, Charlie. Bye. All right. Well, I see Taylor has found Jordan.
Oh, Taylor.
You too.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, this is going to be... Kit, is there any way you can convince the other one to not pick the weirdest YouTube channel? No. Is there any, like, weird show she likes?
If I have influence over one, it was Charlie. So that was really the one we had the best shot with.
It's true.
Great.
Well, all right. We'll talk about that next week.
All right. In the meantime, Perfect Match is on Netflix.
Go watch it.
And you should go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great podcasts that you would enjoy. You can email us at StillBuffering@MaximumFun.org. You can tweet at us at StillBuff. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby Change Mine.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am Still Buffering.
And I am too.
I can't believe we're gonna watch this YouTuber.
Oh boy.
It's a grown man.
Oh. It's in the series of parents who look more fun than us that our kids love.
That's an interesting vibe.
Wait till you check out these YouTube money mansions.
Oh my God.
Max Fun Drive. Hey, Chef, we got another one.
Another Max Fun Drive.
People know it's the best time to support the shows they love. You tell them our meetup day is back?
Sure did. They wanted to know about the live streams, though.
Those are finishing up right now. We can even send one out on the first night, March 20th.
March 20th, Chef!
I'll give them a heads up. They also wanted the limited time thank you gifts for new and upgrading members.
Yep, and we got some fresh episodes ready to go too.
All right, we got exciting live streams, meetup day, fresh episodes, limited time gifts. Oh, and Boca.
Yeah, okay, let them know that Max Fun Drive 2023 will be ready on March 20th, and it'll only be 2 weeks.
2 weeks, Chef!
Max Fun Drive starts on March 20th for just 2 weeks. No problem.
Order up!
Shoot, I forgot their water.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.